Our scripture reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same people, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So let's talk Corinth for a second. Because the city of Corinth was a really fascinating place. Okay, Corinth had been around as long as Western civilization had been around. It had been a hallmark of the Greek Empire for who knows how long. At least until 146 BC, when a Roman army showed up and completely destroyed it. Left it in ruins, just laying there for 100 years. Until, 100 years later, a certain Roman emperor you may have heard of, named Julius Caesar, came along. During his conquest, Julius Caesar freed many slaves from his opponents and wanted them settled in his empire, because more population means more money, more work, that kind of thing. But he needed a place to put them. And well, it's a lot easier to just resettle an old city than build a new one from scratch. So, oh look, Corinth. Julius Caesar took all these ex-slaves that he had freed and dumped them in the city of Corinth, appointed a couple Roman governors to oversee the whole thing, and went off to do whatever conquering he had in mind. So here you are, brand new city, brand new people, right? No local history, no established aristocracy, no local business that had been passed down from generation to generation, not always even a common language. Just a bunch of ex-slaves, all suddenly given the chance to build a new life. And as first-generation immigrants usually do, they went at building a new life with a will. It was not long before Corinth gained a reputation for prosperity and productivity, as every single one of those ex-slaves competed against all the other ones to build that better life however they could. And that's no bad thing. That's great. A lot better than being slaves. But it did have an interesting side effect. See, as time went on in Corinth and people got their side hustles on, all that wound up mattering was a few key things. All that mattered was how much money you'd managed to earn, how much prestige you could get, how much influence you could garner, how many public works you could sponsor. Like, this one was a real thing. Actually, we have an inscription we have found that said, Erastus laid this pavement at his own expense in exchange for the idolship. They're handing out titles to anyone willing to fix the roads, which, as someone from Ohio, I think might actually not be that bad of an idea. If I just so, thank you. This was Corinth in Paul's day. Corinth was all about being the best and making sure that everyone else knew you were the best. And so it probably shouldn't have come as a surprise when Paul, who had journeyed there, planted a church there, spent a good 18 months getting it going, and then moved on, which is what Paul did. Later on, after he'd been gone for a while, it shouldn't have been too much of a surprise when Paul starts getting a lot of letters, all of which read something like this. Hey, Paul, you won't believe what's happening. people aren't playing fair. The wealthy members of the church, they're just spending all their time trying to look good, Paul. They're giving themselves the best seats when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. They're making this big show about not eating food that had been sacrificed to pagan idols, which, I mean, that's fine, but they won't stop talking about it. I could cue the vegan joke here, but I won't. That would be mean. And Paul, they're even using you. Paul, they're saying that they're following your teaching and not the teachings of this other pastor, and that this makes them the real true believers here in Corinth. Paul, they're using you. Paul gets a lot of letters like this from a whole lot of different people, all saying the same thing, all telling Paul that the church in Corinth had been co-opted as just another place to gain influence and to show. Now, I don't know if you know this about Paul. If you've read any of your New Testament, any of his letters, you may realize he does not abide fools gladly. Particularly those people he thinks are corrupting the faith and undermining what he has now devoted his entire life to. And so Paul has no patience at all for these grandiose self-promoters. Instead, Paul writes back, not just to the people who wrote him, to the entire church. And he reminds these ex-slaves that God loved them and saved them and gave them all sorts of gifts before they ever bought an idol ship. If you go into 1 Corinthians and flip back to chapter 1, Paul says this: "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world, you, to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world, you, to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, the things that are not, you, to reduce to nothing the things that are, so that no one may boast in the presence of God." You may be someone now, Paul says. You may be wealthy, sure. You may be powerful, sure. You may be influential. But who cares? God saved you and loved you and gave you gifts when you were a nobody. So if you are anything at all, it is only because of God's grace. So get over yourself. That is the whole of the first half of 1 Corinthians right there in a nutshell for you. Which leads to the passage you heard Arlene read, where Paul says, look, yes, God has given each of us gifts. Many of you have a lot, absolutely. But just get over yourselves. God did not play favorites. You don't have more because God liked you more. That's not how it works. You all have gifts, and each and every one of you is necessary and as important as the others. Get over your egos and start using your gifts without wondering how many likes you're going to get when you post it on social media. I may have paraphrased that last part a little bit. Actually, I don't think I have to stress the point too hard that 1 Corinthians, maybe more than any other letter of Paul's, is relevant to the world we live in today. Do you see it? Right? Here in 21st century America, just like in first century Corinth, self-promotion seems to be the only game in town, doesn't it? One of the common things, I don't know about you, but one of the common things that comes across my newsfeed is all those stories of wannabe social media influencers. Some of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. For those who don't, a social media influencer is someone who has so many people following them on Instagram or whatever it is, that they can actually convince a company in return for the influencer posting a lot of photos of the company on there, they could convince the company to give them all sorts of stuff, or free services, or even vacations. I'll take a photo in your hotel room. Millions of people will see it. It'll be good for you. Just let me stay there for free. Like, this is a thing now. They make their living by leveraging their influence on social media, thus the name, to get all sorts of free products and services and vacations. I'm hung up on the vacations, personally. At least that's what the good ones do. The real ones do that. Those who actually do have millions of people following them every little thing that they do. But once people figured out that this is a thing you could do, once people realized that this is an option, everyone has started getting in on this game. Companies now are receiving email after email from wannabe influencers crossing their fingers that their Instagram account is popular enough to get a free stay or a free service or a free product. There's a whole new economy now based solely on self-promotion. Now, I'm not a social media influencer. I actually don't get on social media all that much. I'm weird. And I know none of you are probably influencers either, no matter how much time you spend on there. That's okay. This is fine. But doesn't part of you want to try? Like, now that I've told you, aren't you thinking, like, maybe I could do that? Wouldn't that be cool? And don't give me the look about the, oh, look, more entitled millennials. Don't give me that look. Don't act like if you didn't grow up with all of this at your fingertips that you wouldn't be doing all the same things. Let's just be honest in this space, okay? I mean, if all you had to do is to take a couple photos and gain this huge following and you could get all sorts of free stuff, I mean, wouldn't it be worth a shot? Isn't it a little tempting? I'm just saying. Some of you are going to go out from here and try it. You let me know how it goes for you. Now listen, I'm never going to be an influencer, and none of you are probably either. But this thinking can still get in our heads. Self-promotion thinking can still get in our heads, and I don't care how old you are. I don't care what generation you belong to. I don't care whether you're using technology or not. This applies to everyone. We all can shift into that self-promotion thinking. That idea that if I just leverage what I have, I could get more. You just have to start asking yourself the question, you know, what? How could I use myself, my looks if I have them, my fashion if I have it, my family if I have it? How could I use all that to get just a little bit more out of life? Listen, I have a daughter and she is so cute, okay? People give her free stuff all the time, okay? I could encourage that. I could get so much more free stuff if I just tried to strategically place her and hope she smiles at the right time when we're at a store or shop or somewhere. Like, I could do that. But it is my job to actively discourage that, because that's what I'm talking about. Right? If I took it the other approach, I would be using my daughter to get free stuff. That is a problem. But it's really easy. It's really easy to do. It's always been easy. I don't care when you grew up or what the technology was. It's easier now, but it's always been easy to think like this, to see ourselves and the people we love solely as a means to an end. And anytime we see people, including ourselves, solely as a means to an end, you know, church, that we have a problem. You know that we're going off of where God wants us to be going. You know we're losing touch with that spirit within us. You know that. Because if you know nothing else about God, you know that He delights in all of His children for who they are. And that no one is solely a means to anything. And so I think we need to hear Paul's words to the Corinthians just as much as the Corinthians needed to hear it. Right, see, Paul has an antidote to self-promotion thinking. He calls it the Holy Spirit. He doesn't deny that we have gifts. No, of course not. Some of us have resources. Some of us have skills. Others have talents. We all have gifts. Paul doesn't deny that. He simply reminds us that those gifts are Well, they're gifts. God gave them to us. We didn't earn them. We didn't deserve them. Even if we worked for so many of the things that we currently have, that ability to work was given to us. Trace anything you have or you are back far enough, you started with a gift. And if you've been with us these last few weeks, you'll have caught the theme here. All disciples of Jesus realized more than anything else that everything we have ultimately is a gift. Even the things we work for, because the ability to work is a gift. And so we receive it with gratitude and we pass as many along as we can in thanksgiving and joy. Without a thought for how it makes us look, by the way. Paul says it. He says it in the passage you heard. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That's the gifts that I'm talking about. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Every single thing exists to bless others. This is why, as we wrap up this sermon series, the last mark of discipleship is service. I don't mean doing favors to companies so they give you a free iPhone. No, I mean humble service. Christian service. Service like Jesus modeled in that upper room when he took form of a slave and knelt and washed his own disciples' feet without thought for how it might look. I'm talking about service without thought of self-promotion. As always, I could tell plenty of stories from right here in our church. There's all sorts of things going on that I see every week where this is happening. But I'd wanted to give our missionaries an opportunity to share a little of what they saw in Thailand on a Sunday morning. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Logan Stanley had a seminar he had to go to for a job, so he can't be here today. He'll be with us tonight at 4 p.m. And Kevin shared downstairs and was supposed to share upstairs, and I lost him. So perhaps the pastor was not clear that I would like you to share in both services. We'll have a talk about that. But I got to hear him share downstairs, and so let me tell you what he shared. I asked him to share just one story of humble service, and he talked about a woman that we met. She's 90 years old. Grew up Buddhist, just like basically everyone in that culture. And for her, that was such a burden as she lived her life, because the concept was she had to do merits, good things, give to temples, give to needy people, in order to offset all the awful things she had done, not just in her life, but remember, they believe in reincarnation, and so it's all the previous lives that she'd lived, and she knew where she was now, and so she could only imagine where she was then. It overwhelmed her. It seemed impossible. It seemed hopeless. And so years, decades ago, she started turning to alcohol to numb that despair. Until a couple of Christians came into her life and said, you don't get it. I have good news for you. You don't have to earn merit to anything. You're free. God has paid it for you. God sent his son, who was God, to pay it for you. You can be free. And it changed this woman's life. She broke free of addiction, and she started lending her house to the Christians in the area so they could meet and have a place to worship. She didn't ask for anything. A lot of people in the beginning didn't know whose house it was. Eventually they found out, but she made sure to do as little as possible to share that information. She didn't want credit. She wanted to share the gifts God had given her because she knew the kind of gifts that she'd been given. And now they've moved to a new building. The church grew enough that they needed their own space. And so there's a whole new group of Christians that have come to faith since then, since they've been in that woman's house. And so there's a whole group of Christians that don't know. They don't know how the church got started. They know they met in a house, but they don't always know whose house, and she wants it that way. She doesn't want anyone to know. She just wants to give what she can. That's the story that stuck with Kevin over those 10 days. If you want to hear more stories, 4 o'clock downstairs today, and you can stream online if you want. Humble service is a mark of disciples of Jesus. Because it is the truest sign. It is the truest sign that we have set our egos aside. We have set that self-promotion thinking aside. And we've stopped using ourselves and others solely as a means to an end. And that we are truly out to love our neighbor like Jesus taught us. That includes loving yourselves, by the way. Just make sure you know. God loves you just as much as he loves anybody else. And so sometimes the person you're meant to serve is you when you're broken or hurting or grieving. There's no shame in that at all. See, what happens is when we realize all that God has done for us and we look at our lives, our perspective changes. Everyone out there, good, bad, indifferent, naturally sees themselves as the hero of their story, or at least the main character. They're a flawed hero, that's fine. But everything happens when they're in the room. That's how we live our lives. Only those people who have realized how much God has given them and given to other people realize all of a sudden they're not the main character of their own story. Brothers, sisters, you're not the main character of your own story. God's doing amazing things in the world. It's his story. It's his creation story. And we're a part of it. Sometimes we're an amazing part of it. Sometimes awesome things happen when we're in the room and it's great. But we are not the main character in our story. And if we can accept that, and that is hard, if we can accept that, it becomes the most natural thing in the world to serve other people. Because you start to see what God is doing here in this church or at your house or wherever you work. You start to see, oh, God's doing incredible things and I've not been involved with it now, but that's okay because I'm not the main character. But God, what can I do here? Can I get in on this? And you find yourself serving. Serving in a way that you're not thinking of yourself higher than anybody else. You're also not thinking of yourself lower than anybody else. Sometimes you realize you're the one that needs help, and that's okay too. As we step back, as we see everything as gifts, and we see God's story as the main story, it just happens. I promise you. I'm not saying it's going to come easy. I'm just saying it's going to come naturally. You see God's story instead of your story, self-promotion goes away. You can serve. Not as an influencer. You can serve the way Jesus served. In thanksgiving and in joy. Would you pray with me? God, we ask that you would send your spirit among us. You've given us so many gifts, and God, we're happy to have more. Because, God, we know that they can be used in your story. God, we're grateful for all the things we've been able to do in our lives, whoever we are. But, God, we want more. All of us want more. We want to see you move in incredible ways. We want to see people's lives changed. And we want to be a part of it, God. We're not ashamed of that. We want to be a part of it. Help us be content with being a part of it, with not being the center, with not being the main character or the hero. God, help us serve the way Jesus served. It's in his name we pray. Amen.